We're starting our first class in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer is possibly the first medrash that was written, and we will learn tonight, hopefully, the first few chapters. We will skip, because there are chapters about creation that discuss Maaseh Merkava and the constellations and stuff which are beyond my understanding. So, we will skip them. Now, there was a great Talmud Chacham named Rav David Luria, also known by the acronym Radal, who wrote a few compilations in his introduction to Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. And some of them focus on Rabbi Eliezer, who was Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. We will discuss him at greater length after we read the first two chapters. And now we'll quickly read Kuntras Mavo LePirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Some of you have it, some of you don't. I'll read and translate, and we won't read all of it because it's pretty long, but we'll read some of it. All the Rishonim call this book Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. It is the first compilation that was compiled among the Jewish people after the books of the prophets. We find no compilation that is recorded from an earlier period. We don't know of any compilation that was compiled prior to Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer after the compilation of the Tanakh, meaning this precedes the Mishnah. Even the special compilation called Megillat Ta'anit, שאמרו פרקם דשבת שכתבה חנניה בן חזקיה בן גרון מסיעתו, that the Gemara records that a man by the name Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Goron wrote it with his helpers, שהיה בזמן בית שמאי ובית הלל, he was during the period of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. As the Mishnah says that it was in his attic that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel enacted the 18 gzeros. נראה שלא היה זה בתחילת ימיהם שהיו עדיין ידב שמה עדיין קיימים. It seems like this was not in the beginning of the period of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but sometime during the course of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. You don't have it in this version. שהיה זה כמו קוף שנה בפני הבית. 100 years before the temple was destroyed, that's when Hillel began his reign. Sharelu b'Gemara Shem, and he proves it from the Gemara that this, the Megillas Tanis was compiled after Hillel and Shammai's passing, and it was their disciples Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that compiled Megillas Tanis, and therefore this would be the earliest compilation that was ever compiled following the books of Tanakh. Okay. Then he goes into a long discussion of when exactly Megillas Tanis was written, but that's not so important for us right now. Vehinei, I'm skipping a few paragraphs. Afi mimatzu bo ma'amarim tzat nosafim midorot tanim ha'achonim o'af ma'amoreim. One of the things that are going to bother us is that if this was compiled by Rav Lezer ben Hyrcanus, in a minute we'll discuss who he was, then how come you have quotes in Pirkei Rav Lezer from later generation Tanam, and even Amoraim from the Gemara are quoting Pirkei Rav Lezer? Lo b'chol zeh nachriach shechubar kol ha-sefer v'abraita b'imim. We won't say that because of this the whole book was a late compilation. Rak shebet midrasho Rav Lezer shayu shnim braitot shelo. It was compiled in his bet midrash. Tani Eila Mishpatim Uvechulin Dora Chardov Osifu Bo Eze Dvarim Bedorot Shlachan. It says later generations added their commentary, but the whole compilation was really compiled by Rav Lezer ben Hyrcanus. Now, who was Rav Lezer ben Hyrcanus? So let's begin Pirkei Rav Lezer, and after we read a little bit from the beginning, we'll expand. We will see in a second. No, Rabbi Kiva was a disciple of Rabbi Eliezer. Let's see. Perek Rishon. Maaseh. It says loosely translated as a thing that occurred. B'Rabbi Eliezer ben Hukanus. You could join us. Now you have it. First chapter. Now we're starting the book. So anyone who has Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer has what we're reading now. Maaseh B'Rabbi Eliezer ben Hukanus. Story occurred with Rabbi Eliezer ben Hukanus. Shayu l'aviv choshin. His father had people plowing. V'hayu choshin al gabei ma'ana. And they were plowing with the... They were plowing on the places where it was easy plowing, where the plow could go. Voyach wesh bitrashin, and he was plowing where there were rocks. Yashav lo v'aya boche. He sat and he was crying. Amar lo aviv, his father said to him, Mifnei ma ata boche? Why are you crying? Shema mitzter tat she'ata choresh bitrashin? Maybe you are saddened that you are plowing where there are rocks, where it's difficult plowing. I'll let you plow where the plow works, where everyone else is plowing. So he sat where the plows were, where the paths for the plows were already furrowed, and he was crying. His father said to him, why are you crying? Are you saddened that you're plowing over here where the plows go swiftly through? He said, no. V'lama ata bocheh? His father asked him, why are you crying? Amar lo she'ani mevakesh lilmod Torah. He said to him, because I want to learn Torah. Amar lo v'alo ben 28 shanim ata. His father said to him, Hurkanus, Rabbi Eliezer's father said to him, you're 28 years old. V'ata mevakesh lilmod Torah. You want to learn Torah? Elakach lecha isha. That's not what you should do. Rather, take for yourself a wife. V'tolid lecha banim. She'll bear you children. V'ata molicha nevet sefer. You'll take them to school, to yeshiva. They'll learn Torah. Asa shtei shabbatot velo ta'am klum. 2 weeks passed, he was so upset he couldn't eat anything. Ad shenigla lo Eliyahu zichrono livracha. Till Eliyahu appeared to him. Ve'amar lo Eliyahu said to him, ben Hurkanus, lama ata boche? Eliyahu said to him, son of Hurkanus, why are you crying? Amar lo mipnei she'ani mevakesh ללמוד Torah. He said, because I want to learn Torah. Amar lo, im ata mevakesh ללמוד Torah, Eliyahu said to Rabbi Eliezer, if you want to learn Torah, ale lirushalayim etzer Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Go up to Jerusalem to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the Nasi at the time. Amad ve'alach etzer Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He got up and went to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Yashav lo v'haya bocheh. He sat before the great Nasi. He's sitting in front of the greatest leader and he's crying. Amar lo, mipnei ma ata bocheh? He said to him, why are you crying? Amar lo, he said to him, mipnei she'ani mevakesh ללמוד Torah, because I want to learn Torah. Amar lo, ben mi ata? He said to him, whose son are you? Ve'lo yigid lo. He didn't want to tell him. He ran away from home. Doesn't want to say. Amar lo, miyamecha lo lamadta kriyat shema? He said, throughout your days you never learned kriyat shema, how to read shema. Ve'lo tefillah, you never learned how to say Shmon Esrei, how to pray. Ve'lo birkat amazon, you never learned how to bench. Amar lo lav, he said, no, never learned any of that. Amar lo, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to him, Amod, stand up, v'alamedcha shloshtan. I'll teach you all three. Yashav v'haya bocheh. He sat and he was crying. Amar lo, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to him, Bni, my son, mipnei ma ata bocheh. Why are you crying? Amar lo, so Eliezer said to him, Sh'ani mevakesh ללמוד Torah. I want to learn Torah. V'haya omer lo, shtei halachot kol yimei ha-shavu. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would teach him two halachos every day of the week. V'haya chozer lo alehen, and then Rabbi Eliezer would regurgitate, he'd repeat them back, umedavkan, and he'd stick them to memory, he'd get them down pat. Asa shmona yamim ve'lo ta'am klum. 8 days passed, he has no food to eat. He's not eating any normal food. Ad shalach ach piv lifnei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, till his bad breath started coming before Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Ve'emido milfanav. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai distanced him. Yashav v'haya bocheh. Rabbi Eliezer sat down and was crying. Amar lo mipnei ma ata bocheh? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked him, why are you crying? Because you distance me from you, like people who distance themselves from someone who's covered with boils. What am I so disgusting? He distanced me like that. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to him, "Bni, my son, כשם שעלה ריח פיך מלפני, just like the smell of your mouth came up before me, כך יעלה ריח חוקי תורה מפיך לשמיים. So too, the smell of the laws of the Torah should go up from your mouth to the heavens. אמר לו, בני, בן מי אתה? He said, told him, son, whose son are you? He's there 8 days. אמר לו, בן הורקנוס אני. I'm the son of Hurkanus. אמר לו, ולא בן גדולי עולם אתה? You're the son of tremendous people. ולא היית מגיד לי, you never said that to me. אמר לו, חייך היום תסויד אצלי. He said, I swear today you are going to eat by me. Now, his father, Hurkanus, was one of the wealthiest people in that generation. The Gemara records how wealthy he was. He was one of the wealthy people that could have sustained all of Jerusalem for 7 years. אמר לו, כבר סעתי אצל אכסניה שלי. He said, no, I've already eaten by my host. אמר לו, מי אכסניה שלך? So Rabbi Nochman ben Zakkai asked him, who's your host? אמר לו, רבי יהושע בן חנניה ורבי יוסי הכהן. I'm a guest by Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananiah and Rabbi Yosi HaKohen. Anytime we have Rabbi Yehoshua in the Mishnah alone, that's Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananiah. שלח ושאל אכסניה שלו. So Rabbi Nochman ben Zakkai sent a messenger to his hosts. אמר להם, אצלכם סעד אליעזר היום? He asked them, did Eliezer eat by you today? אמרו לו לאו, they said no. And then they figured out between the two of them that the host thought he was eating in yeshiva, the yeshiva thought he was eating at home, at the host, ולא יש לו 8 ימים. They figured out there had been 8 days שלא טעם כלום, that he hadn't eaten any normal meal, no one had given him anything to eat. Oh, why would he lie? He said, I ate by my host. How could he say that? He hadn't eaten yet.
Where's the Torah?
Huh?
Where's the Torah?
So there's a version over here that says, there's a girsa that says that he didn't say a word. There's also an opinion that says that the Yerushalmi says in Chagiga that one's not supposed to publicize their fast. The Yerushalmi says there was a woman by the name of Miriam Bas Eli that she used to keep telling people that she was fasting. She was such a tzedekes, and says the gates of Gehenna were always by her. That if a person publicizes his fast, then it's bad for him. So maybe out of that humility, he was allowed to change things. If you want, simply we could answer that that he was an Amoritz. He didn't know yet. He learned two halachas for 8 days. But no one seems to give that answer. I don't know why not. But the version in Avos Dravinasan is that he was silent. Over there it doesn't say that he said anything. It says that he didn't answer anything.
He seems to not want to say Lashon Hara either, before, when he didn't say who his father was.
Oh, could be, right? Could be. אחרי כן הלכו רבי יהושע בן חנניה ורבי יוסי הכהן ואמרו לרבי יוחנן בן זכאי. So his host went to רבי יוחנן בן זכאי and they told him, הרי יש לו 8 ימים שלא טעם כלום. It's been 8 days, he ate nothing normal. We ended the first chapter. Let's do the second chapter and then ask ourselves a few questions about what's going on here.
That was 8 days plus the 2 weeks that he didn't.
That's what it seems like.
That was... Fasting
doesn't literally mean fasting. There are other versions where it says that he used to eat grass and he found stuff to eat, but he wasn't eating normal food. Second chapter. אמרו בניו של הורקנוס לאביהם, עלה לך לירושלים ונדה את מנחה ליעזר מן חסיך. הורקנוס' children, he's a wealthy man, so his children told him, go up to Jerusalem and ostracize your son Eliezer from your wealth. So Hyrcanus went up to Jerusalem to ostracize his son who ran away from home from all of his wealth. Now, we don't know how much time has passed until this story takes place. We don't know. But from the continuation of the story, it seems like some time has passed. When he arrived in Jerusalem, he saw there was a day of celebration before Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Let's see. Vayu kol gdolei hamdina soadim etzlo. And all the great wealthy barons of the state were feasting by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that day. Ben Tzitzit HaKeset, Nakdimon ben Gurion, the great wealthy person who was a big tzaddik, Ben Tzitzit HaKeset, and Nakdimon ben Gurion, and Venkal bas Savua, Rabbi Akiva's father-in-law, Venkal bas Savua. Velama nikashmo ben Tzitzit HaKeset. Why was he known as Ben Tzitzit HaKeset? Sheya mesev lemala migdolei Yerushalayim. He used to lie for his feasts. He would lay on a... and he was higher up than all the great people of Jerusalem. Amuwal Nakdimon ben Guyon. They used to say about Nakdimon ben Gurion, Shayalo Mezon Shlosha Sin Kemach Lechol Echad Vechad Shayu. They used to say about Nakdimon ben Gurion that he would have 3 sa'a of flour for every person in Jerusalem. Amwalav al Binkalba Savua. They used to say about Binkalba Savua, Shayalo Bet Alba Korin Shel Ginot Tochanin Bezahab. He used to have a tremendous area of people that they used to be grinding gold for him, pounding down gold for him. He'd have a Beit Arba Korin. Kor is 30 Sa'ah. You're talking about Beit Sa'ah is 50 by 50 Amah. So Beit Kor is 30. That's 1,500 Amah by 50 Amah. And he has 4 of those. So that's 60,000 Amah. 6,000 Amah by 50 Amah. Not bad. People pounding down, grinding his gold for him.
Are these the other two richest people?
These were the richest people. Yeah, we have here the richest people of Jerusalem feasting. They told Rav Nochman ben Zakkai, "Ooh, Rav Lezer's father is coming." And here we see that he's no longer Eliezer; he's attained the status of Rabbi Eliezer. So he told them, "Make room for Hyrcanus." They made room and they had him sit up there. Now here, there's a different version. There's a version that says that that when Rav Nochman ben Zakkai heard that Hyrcanus was coming, so he told the students, don't make room for Eliezer to sit, because the way the Beit Medrash used to be set up is that you'd come to sit down, and depending on your level, you'd sit. And sometimes the guy would say, no, 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 you moved up a notch, you sit to my left, you sit to my right, you sit higher up. So Rav Nochman ben Zakkai gave word to the students, every time Rav Lezer comes to sit down, tell him, no, 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 you've moved not a notch. And force him to keep moving up the rows till he's sitting at the dais at the head table. So Rav Lezer comes into the Beis Medrash. His father's sitting at the dais, we'll see in a second. And the students don't let him sit, they keep bumping him up. So finally he lands in front of Rav Nochman ben Zakkai. V'natani nav Rav Lezer. Rav Nochman ben Zakkai gave Rav Lezer a look. Amar lo emor lanu davar chad min haTorah. Rav Nochman ben Zakkai told Rav Lezer, give a dvar Torah. You speak. Class is about to begin. We want to hear you. Amar lo, so Rav Lezer answered him, Rabbi, I'm shol lecha mashal lema davar dome. Said, I'll give you a mashal. What's this similar to? Labor hazeh, a pit sheino yachol lehotzi mayim yoter mima sheya motzi. A pit could only give you the water that it could give out. What you put in a pit is what you could take out. Kach ani ini yachol lomar divrei Torah yoter mima shekibalti mecha. I can't say anything more than you taught me. So what should I talk? Whatever I'll say, you taught me. I can't tell you anything. Amar lo, so Rav Nochman ben Zakkai answered him, emshol lecha mashal lema davar dome. I'll give you a mashal, what this is similar to. Lemayan ze shu novea umotzi mayim. To a spring that has underwater sources, that it goes forward and gives out water. And it could give out far more water than it takes in. So too you could say Divrei Torah more than they received at Sinai. Rav Nochman ben Zakkai told him, maybe you're embarrassed from me. I'm walking out. Amad Rabbi Yochanan והלך לו לחוץ. Rav Nochman got up and walked out of the Beis Medrash. והיה רבי אליעזר יושב ודורש. Rav Lezer was sitting and giving a drasha. ופניו מאירות כאור החמה. And his face was lit like the sun. וקרנותיו יוצאות כקרנותיו של משה. And rays of light came out like Moshe Rabbeinu's rays of light. ואין אדם יודע אם יום ואם לילה. No one could tell if it was day or night. בא רב יוחנן בן זכאי מאחוריו, רב יוחנן בן זכאי snuck up from behind, ונשקו על ראשו, and he kissed him on his head. אמר לו, אשריכם אברהם, יצחק ויעקב, שיצא זה מחלציכם. Praise that you, אברהם, יצחק ויעקב, that you merited to have such offsprings like this Eliezer. אמר הורקנוס, למי אמר כך? הורקנוס said, who did he speak to that way? Who did he give such a blessing to that he gave such a fine speech? אמרו לו, so they told הורקנוס, לאליעזר בנך. He said it to Eliezer, your son. אמר להם, לא כך היה לו לומר. So then he should have said like this, אלא אשרי אני שיצא זה מחלצי. He should have said, praise the my, Yorkana says, that this one came from me, this is my son, that's my boy. היה רב לזר יושב ודורש, ואביו עומד על רגליו. רב לזר was giving the drasha, like all the rabbis, he was sitting. And like all the students, his father was standing. The second he saw his father standing before him, like one of the students, he got scared. He said, "Father, sit. I can't give a speech, teach the Torah when you're standing." He said to him, "My son, didn't I come here just to ostracize you from my wealth? Ve'ata shebati lirotcha ve'ra'iti kol ha'sheva chazeh. Now that I came to see you and I see all this great praise, this great honor, hare'achecha menudim mehim. I am ostracizing your brethren from my wealth. Ve'em netunim lecha b'matana. I'm giving you my wealth as a gift." Amar lo v'arei ani eni sheveh k'achad mehim. I'm not worth like one of them. Or some have the version, he says, "I'm just like one of them. I don't want less than them. I don't want more than them." Ilu kakot bikashti mifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu haya lefanav liteni. If I wanted lands from before God, he could have given me. Shneimar l'Hashem ha'aretz u'mlo'ah. As the verse states, God has all of the land. Tevel v'yoshvei bah. Ilu kesef v'zahav bikashti. If I wanted silver and gold, haya noten li, God would give me. Shneimar l'hakesef v'liyazav nu'um Hashem tzvakot. God says, the silver and gold are all mine. Ela lo bikashti mifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ela Torah bilvad. All I ask from God, give me Torah. Shneimar al ken kol pikudei chol yisharti kol orach sheker saniti. And here we end the second chapter. Reb Lezer has made peace with his father, and he is now the great Rabbi Eliezer. Well, and now let's discuss what we just read. Yeah.
Why was he ostracized?
Well, initially he wanted to kick Reb Lezer out from his wealth because Reb Lezer went against what he said. He left the family. He left home, he went in a totally different path. When he finally saw that what Reb Lezer had attained, that he was such a great sage, and all the honor that he got and Reb Lezer got from all the learning, he said, "Hey, this is my most successful son. All the other ones are failures for not learning Torah. They should be ostracized. He deserves to get my wealth."
Is that Nakama?
I don't know if Nakama.
They told him to ostracize.
It doesn't look like Rabbi Eliezer could have written this from, like, it's a third person story, sort of praising.
I don't know. The tradition seems to say that it's Rabbi Eliezer or his base medrash. We have to ask
about him, or like maybe students wrote it.
I think it's him. Maybe his students wrote it. Let's ask ourselves a few questions, and we'll have to assume what the answers are, because it's not written. But let's ask ourselves, why did Rabbi Eliezer begin this great work, which will have midrashim about the whole Torah, which will have tremendous things? The Rambam learned this work. This is one of the earliest works, one of the earliest midrashim, if not the earliest. Why does it begin with this story? What is Rabbi Eliezer telling us by telling us this story at the beginning of his life? That he was 28 years old and he didn't know Shema, he didn't know how to bench, he didn't know how to daven, and he became the great Rabbi Eliezer. I'm not sure we have to answer that question, but I think we have to notice it. This isn't the story written here for the fun of it. This story has a message to tell us. Another question we have to ask ourselves, but before we do that, let's get an overview of who Rabbi Eliezer was. Anytime we encounter Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer, it's Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. When the Mishnah just says the name Rabbi Eliezer, it's Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus.
Isn't there something in your book that says he's greater than all the other sages?
Oh, so we'll get to that. Good point.
This was Rabbi Eliezer.
We have Hillel and Shammai. And one of Hillel's disciples is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has five top students, of which the second best is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, he says, is bolstered. He's like a well-lined pit, sheino ma'abed tipa, that doesn't lose even a drop. Anything you put in it, it retains. So Rabbi Eliezer's strength is that he retains. What his Rebbe teaches him, he retains. And that's basically Rabbi Eliezer's answer. He says, "I could give you what you gave me. How could I give you more?"
Where's Rabbi Gamliel?
let's leave that out for now. Remind me, we'll try to get back to that.
This is the same, I can't remember which rabbi it was, about the all the rabbis were against him, and like,
that's what we're going to get to, right, we'll get to that.
Yeah,
that's Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer, initially the first opinion in that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that if all the sages would be on one side of the scale and Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus on the other side, he would tilt the scale against all of them. Rabbi Eliezer, we see, initially comes, doesn't know anything. And by learning two halachas each day and retaining them very, very well, he makes his way up. That's why when people do gerus, I always tell every guy in the machon, if you do gerus, before you do gerus, I'll help you with the basics, what you need to know for your test. After you do gerus, we could have a set seder. And that set seder, we can't always do more than 5 minutes a week, 15 minutes a week. Can't always do more because it's piling up for guys, I mean, Baruch. But I always tell them, I quote them this story, and I tell them, don't think that two halachos is very little. If we stick to it, you'll get a lot. And we could do it a few times during the week. Short, but we could do it. And I always have this in front of my eyes. Look at where Rabbi Eliezer got by reviewing those two halachos and getting them down pat. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, we saw his hosts were initially Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah and Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. They are among the top disciples of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah ends up being his bar plukto. Them two have arguments throughout the Shas. Anytime we encounter Rabbi Yeshua, it's Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah. Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah was a blacksmith. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah lived a very long life. Rabbi Eliezer attains the level of being his equal. Them two have the arguments. In the Midrashim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua have stories with Gerim very similar to the stories that Hillel and Shammai have. And ultimately, Rabbi Eliezer gets the name Shamuti, which one understanding is that he went with the learnings of the house of Shammai. And therefore, the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer almost throughout the Shas. The first Tana that's quoted in Shas Mishnayos is Rabbi Eliezer. The Brachos begins, Me'im HaSaikor Nishma Be'arvis, Misho Shokanim Nichnosin Lecho B'Trumason, Ad Sofa Ashmura Arishono, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. The first Tana to be quoted in Shas, Rabbi Eliezer. And he's quoted throughout Shas. And he has tremendous power. And yet we do not rule like him. Why don't we rule like him? The reason we don't is because he was Shamuti. What does Shamuti mean? So the Gemara records a story about Tanur Shel Achnai. We know that the Torah says that an earthenware vessel can become Tameh. And ordinarily we say that things that are attached to the ground cannot become Tameh. But an oven, an earthenware oven that's attached to the ground is called a tanur, and that, the Torah says, can become tameh. What do you have to do with it? Break it. What happens if you break an oven and then put sand in between the pieces of broken oven, and now you have an oven that's usable? You seal it in a way that it's usable, but it's really broken. Can that tanur become tameh or not? So that tanur, which is really composed of like three links with sand in between them, and then you put pitch or tar to hold it in place, that's called tanur shel achnai. The tanur that's like a snake, because you have, just like a snake coils itself, so too this oven looks like a coil. You have a round piece of an oven, and then a round layer of sand, and a round piece of an oven, and a round layer of sand, and a round piece of an oven. So regarding that oven, the question came before the Beis Medrash, is it tameh or taho? Right, it was broken as a kli, but then it's usable now. So does it have the name of a vessel to be able to become tameh? So Rabbi Eliezer said one way, and the sages said the other way. Rabbi Eliezer said, if I'm right, the trees will start caving in, that tree, the wall will start caving in, that tree will move from where it's standing, until finally he brought all kinds of Kabbalistic proofs. He said, a voice will come out from heaven and say, I'm right. And a voice came out from heaven and said, he's right, Rabbi Eliezer's right. And the sages said, Lo b'shamayimi, Torah isn't in heavens. Only one person could bring Torah from heaven, and that was Moshe Rabbeinu. After that, Torah isn't in heavens, it's ours, and we rule against you. And because he wouldn't give in, they ostracized him. What level of ostracization? There's a level called Shamta, there's a level called Nidui. They ostracized him, whatever level it is. It seems Shamta. And that's why, according to one understanding, Rabbi Eliezer is called Shamuti, the one who got Shamta, and therefore we don't go Lalach like him. One of his disciples was Rabbi Akiva.
Shamta is more or less than
less.
Chayran?
Less.
And neither is less than Chayran.
Yeah. Now, according to some understandings, Shamta is equivalent to Nidu. Seems from the Gemara that Shamta is equivalent to Nidui, but there are those that want to say Shamta is even less. At any rate,
what's Nidui mean?
Nidui is one level of ostracization, Cherem is another level of ostracization.
Which is the worst?
Cherem. I don't remember. It's Gemaros and Moed Katan, I just don't remember.
We don't practice this kind of stuff today.
We do to an extent, but very rarely. It's usually not useful to practice it. The courts have to impose it. It's usually imposed on a person that that goes against the courts. He doesn't want to give his wife a get when he should give her a get. Things like that.
How can he be from Beit Shammai if he was from the lineage of Hillel?
Good, I was waiting for someone to ask that. Great question. If you notice, this question bothered me for about half a year, till I reviewed the Mishnayot in Pekevel. When the Mishnah describes the learnings, so the Mishnah says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai learned from them, from Hillel and Shammai. Even though he is recorded as the student of Hillel, the Mishnah says that he studied from Hillel and Shammai. And this is easy to understand if we remember that Hillel and Shammai only differed on 3 points. It was their disciples that had hundreds of arguments. But Hillel and Shammai, even though the Gemara seems to point out their differences, but between Hillel and Shammai there were only 3 machlokot, actually 4. But the fourth one wasn't unique to them. It was an ancient machloket. Between Hillel and Shammai, you only had 3 points of differentiation, the Gemara says. So it's not so difficult to understand that a person would be a disciple of both of them, because it's the same tradition.
Where's the Gemara?
Gemara and Shabbos. Daf Tesvav, approximately Tesvav, Tesain. So that's how we could end up with Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai's disciple going in the way of Beis Shammai. Of Shammai. So we brought two understandings. What does it mean that Rav Lez ben Hyrcanus was Shamuti? Either that he was from the house of Shammai, his way, or that he was he ended up his life Bishamta, that they ostracized him.
He didn't learn from Hillel and Shammai.
He learned from Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, who learned from Hillel and Shammai. Correct. So Rav Lez ben Hyrcanus, we just saw how he began learning by Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was so great, his disciple was Rabbi Akiva. And we know how great Rabbi Akiva was. He's the foundation of Torah Shebaal Peh. We know that Rabbi Akiva's disciple, Rabbi Meir, and his Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is a disciple of Rabbi Akiva, who's a disciple of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Akiva's disciples are the ones that sealed all of the oral law. Stam Mishnah, Stam Tosefta, Stam Sifri, Stam Sifra. Rashbi was a disciple. We have... Everyone goes back to Rabbi Akiva, which goes back to Rabbi Lezer ben Hyrcanus. So now that we see how great Rabbi Lezer ben Hyrcanus was, we have to ask ourselves even more strongly, why do we have this whole story? Why does Pirkei Rabbi Lezer begin by telling us this? And why the point of learning 2 halachas each day?
Also, kind of like anyone can learn Torah from the greatest sage in Israel. They just have to go and wander from it.
That's what it seems like also, right? I have to tell you, it is that way. I found it to be that way over and over again. My brother gave me one of the greatest pieces of advice he gave me. My eldest brother, Tzvi, told me, said, when you go to yeshiva, ask for a chavrusa to learn with a Rosh Yeshiva. Because no one else does. Everyone feels they can't get it. If you try, you'll get it. And I could tell you that almost every yeshiva I was in, I learned chavrusa with the Rosh Yeshiva. I was in Mir, I can't say chavrusa, but I learned. I had a private session with the Rosh Yeshiva. And I was in Tells, and I had a private session with the Rosh Yeshiva. Almost everywhere I was able to get it. And the trick is to want it, and to ask for it, and... sometimes you have to be smart. You have to push for it, like Rabbi Shua did. Sometimes you have to cry for it. But you could do it.
Yeah, I have a friend who's a singer,
The way he's like, he's got a lot of contacts now with Sony and stuff. But the way his story was that he did an internship with Sony, and he like on the first day he knocked on like the managing director of Sony's door, and just chatted to him. And he said, "You're the first person who's come for an internship, and has come to knock on my door and speak to me." And so then on, he's like, "It's maybe all his contacts. Just we had their chutzpah to knock,
yeah,
knock on my door, you know."
For sure. You have to be willing to try, and you have to try and be persistent, like Rav Lez Ben Hurkanus was, and to really want it. When I was starting out, I was in high school, finishing high school, and I said, I need a rabbi to learn by. How am I ever going to get the big rabbi to learn by? I think I told you guys this story. So I was davening, and I said, I don't see how I'm going to do it. I said, if I want to grow, I need to learn by someone great. How am I ever going to discover it? And God just made them land in my lap, one after the other. I didn't even know what I was getting. Time after time, be it Rav Pesen Zatzal, who I every night after class I would talk to him for maybe 2 hours. I had a year straight where I had private sessions with him for 2 hours a night. And I'd stay after class. Class would end 8:30, 9:30, somewhere between 9:30 and 10, and I'd continue with him till midnight.
How did you just ask?
I had questions after the class. Rabbi Feinstein also. I just asked questions. And also Rabbi Ort, by mistake I landed in his bar, not by mistake. I davened for it, and Baruch Hashem gave it to me. But a person has to want it and to daven for it, and hopefully his tefillos will be accepted. But you have to first want and then do the best you can for it. Rav Lez Ben Hurkanus did. That's why he merited that Elio showed up to him, and Elio guided him. You want to learn, go over to Rav Bigun and ask him if he could learn with you. You want to set up a seder? People have asked me more than once, can we learn Chavrusa? I say, yeah, call me. They call maybe once. I try, but the people that are persistent, we learn Chavrusa. We do. But you guys could do better than that. Go to the Rosh Yeshiva, go to Rav Listman. You have 100 other people you could go to. But you have to be persistent and to want it and to review what you learn. So there are a lot of things we could learn from these stories here. And we should take note. Yeah.
I don't understand. This guy is like the richest man in the Jerusalem, and his son is playing like stones and stuff. Like he's like the poorest. And he's saying, you know, don't go to yeshiva. Your job is to earn money, and then your sons could go to yeshiva. Why? Like it's just.
I could tell you, but whatever I'm going to say is going to be theory. But what we could see is that you see that he. How did he bring up his son? How could the richest man in Jerusalem have a son that doesn't know how to say Kriyat Shema? It shows us something about the time. It shows us something about the Amaretz that was around then. Amaretz, we think Amaretz is, he doesn't know to put his tzitzis out. Okay, so I don't have my tzitzis out either. Sephardim don't put out their tzitzis. Whatever, you think an Amaretz is someone who maybe doesn't know how to tie his own tzitzis. Someone who, I don't know. Think it's something intricate. In the Gemara's time, you see that an Amaretz is someone who doesn't know how to daven, doesn't know how to say Kriyat Shema.
No.
That's biblical. He doesn't know how to binge. That's also biblical.
Not just that, just like, surely like he would provide his son for all he needs. Why does he need to work like in such harsh like conditions? Do you know what I mean? Like, why does surely he'll give him like loads of land and like workers and good fields and stuff?
He learned Koala's
character
as well.
So that, again, everyone that's going to answer that has to guess. I don't know the source, so your guess is as good as mine.
So strange.
Now, I said...